Why don't you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 in just a moment. And it is a great day to be in the Lord's house to sing about Him and His resurrection, His ascension, and He's coming again. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for Him to come? I hope and pray that you are. I hope and pray that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you look forward to that day with joy and not with fear. In a book, Charles Allen wrote a book entitled God's Psychiatry. And he said in that book, in World War II, it was drawing to close, the Allied armies gathered up many hungry orphans. They were placed in camps where they were well fed. Despite excellent care, they slept poorly. They seemed nervous and afraid. And finally, a psychologist came up with a solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to hold after he was put to bed. And this particular piece of bread was just to be held, not to be eaten. It was just to be held all night. And they said it produced wonderful results. The children went to bed instinctively knowing that they had food for in the morning, and they slept without fear. You know, when there's confidence, there's hope. And I want to give you a piece of bread this morning to hold on to give you hope and confidence. Because today's Sunday, but Monday's coming, amen? And Luke had something here we're going to read about he wanted to share with his friend Theophilus. And without realizing it, Luke, as he wrote it, was going to share it with us today. So I want us to read Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 1. I want to ask you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word. If you are able this morning, if you're not, you're fine. For those who are able, let's stand in honor of the reading of His holy and inerrant word. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Listen to what he says, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the joy that you've placed in our hearts. Because you live, we can live forever. Oh, Lord, help me to preach your word this morning in the power, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, my redeemer, I pray that your word would speak to all of our hearts. And, Lord, for those here who may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not know the promise of salvation and eternal life, Lord, I pray this morning that would give you their lives, turn from their sin and turn to you and be forgiven and know heaven as their home. Let it be so, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. You may be seated. Notice what he says in verse 1 here. He says, as many as taken in hand, from those who were eyewitnesses, he says, those who surely believed among us. See, the Holy Spirit inspired them to be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And likewise, Luke was inspired to write this story. This is something like 30, 35 years after Jesus' death, and he's diligent to write in order, O most excellent Theophilus. Well, Paul called Luke the beloved physician. And Luke said, having perfect understanding, that you might know the certainty of those things. Luke wanted Theophilus to know the story of Jesus. He wanted him to know all of it. And I want us to go through this because I think these four verses here really gives us an overview and a complete picture of the whole gospel of Luke. You know, when you see a movie on TV on the life of Jesus Christ, most of the time it's taken from the gospel of Luke because it's the most complete story of his life written. So I want you to notice the first thing here. And he says in verse 1, there's the story of his faith. He goes to talk about those things which were witnesses to us. Here's the basics of the story. Luke wrote the whole gospel of Jesus' life. You know, it's kind of interesting. If you take Luke chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about Jesus' birth and preparation. How he was foretold by the prophets, how he was announced to by Zacharias and Mary, It was testified of John when he baptized him. He heard the voice in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." He saw the Holy Spirit descending and lighting on him like a dove. He talked about how Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. He talks in those first four chapters about the birth and preparation of Jesus. And then he goes in chapter 4, verse 14 through chapter 21, verse 38. He talks about the message and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he declared his ministry to all. It kind of sums it up in chapter 4, verse 18, where he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised." He says, when Jesus stood up before the synagogue there in Luke chapter 4, and Luke records it, what he said, that was a picture of his whole ministry. And then he declared his message of Jesus, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is coming to seek that which was lost." And then chapter 22, verse 1 through 24, verse 53, he talks about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Crucify our sins for our sins, but raise the third day to give eternal life to all who believe in him." That's the basic story. He covers it in his whole gospel. But here's the beauty of this story that he shares with them: that God would love us enough to send his Son, his only begotten Son, to die for us, that we could have eternal life. Do you know no other religion in the world believes that? All the other religions of the world are do religions. You do this, you obey certain rules, you follow certain restrictions, you do this, you do that. You don't do this, you don't do that. And then God might accept you. You know, the gospel says that Jesus died for our sins. Why? Because God loves us. And there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing we can keep from doing to earning our salvation. When Jesus was crucified, left for dead in that tomb, and he walked out on Sunday, he walked out of the grave to set us free from death, hell, and the grave. Luke testifies that it's a done religion. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." You know, that's why I believe I can't lose my salvation. Here's why. Because if I had to do something to keep my salvation, or if I didn't do this, I would lose my salvation, then I've got to add something to my salvation. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, it was finished. Amen? When I trust him as Lord and Savior, there's nothing that I could do or not do to make it any different. He's accepted me into his family. I'm a child of God and going to heaven one day when I die. Hallelujah. See, the beauty of the story is it's all of the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God, and we're forgiven by the grace of God. And that's the story that Luke wanted to share, the beauty of the story, for to his friend Theophilus and to us. And let me tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what kind of mess you've got yourself into or been into, Jesus died for you. He paid the price that you'd be forgiven. He gave his life so you could be set free. That's the story of Luke's faith that he's sharing. But notice the second thing here is the sharing of his faith. In verse 2 and 3, he says, "Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministered the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." You know, it's kind of interesting how we look at life and you turn on the television, you go on the internet. I love it anymore, I'm being very sarcastic. I love it when you go on the internet and you're trying to go to a web page and you're trying to find some information, and they're bombarding you with all the pop-ups and ads and this and that, and some videos popping up and it goes blaring at you. Don't you just love that? I know they pay the bills. But you know, God didn't have a marketing scheme. He didn't hire a marketing firm. He didn't hire people or spend a lot of money. He didn't send out mailings or put up signs or go on TV or radio or newspaper or the internet. All those things are good to get the gospel out. But you know the way God chose? Word of mouth advertising. And if you talk to any marketing people in the business world, they'll tell you of all the things that marketing people do, from advertisements to mailings to whatever, they'll tell you the number one thing, the biggest thing that you can do to promote your product is word of mouth advertising. God used his people, his book. His Holy Spirit to confirm it and convict us of the truth of it. And that's the reason Luke is sharing it. That we might understand that this is what God did for us. You know, Jesus chose 12 fishermen, or 12 men to carry forth his gospel. Four were fishermen. One was a tax collector. One was a rebel, Simon the Zealot. Five others without any notoriety or training. In other words, he picked a whole bunch of nobodies to go tell everybody. Did you get that? And that's what he's done for us today. We're a bunch of nobodies that were supposed to go tell everybody. That's all Luke's doing here. He says, I'm a nobody, but I'm going to tell everybody. And with the greatest message of all time, I heard someone say one time, and the angel came to God at that point and says, well, you're entrusting your message and what Jesus did to these men? God said, yes. And the angel said, what if they fail? God says, I have no plan B. It's in their hands. You know, Luke received this story. Notice he said that those who were eyewitnesses and delivered him. You know, they didn't just dream this up. They didn't have a vision. They just didn't take somebody's word idea. They heard it from those who walked with Jesus. Luke had heard it from those who saw him perform the miracles. He heard it from those who saw him heal the lame and give sight to the blind. They heard him speak. Peter, James, and John went up with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him transfigured into his glory. And they saw him die. And then they met him again after he'd risen from the grave. Those same men and people told Luke, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he's done. Let me ask you a question. Who told you about Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Is what you believe your idea? Is what's been told to you? Is it the truth of the gospel? You know, one of the things that I hear people say so many times today, it just really grieves my heart because it bothers me because I'm not sure if they understand the truth of the gospel. When they say, well, I just feel, I just believe, or I just think. Folks, it doesn't matter what you think, what you feel, what you believe. It's matter what's written in this book. You say, well, I feel like I'm going to heaven. That's not good enough for me. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Paul wrote, and Luke wrote, that you might know the certainty of these things, that you might have a rock solid assurance of your faith, a hope that is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? See, the message is not changed. Still the same old story. Heard an old story about a Savior who came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning. Oh, his precious blood's atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Isn't that a wonderful, beautiful story? Luke says that you might know. I got it from eyewitnesses to share it with you, Theophilus. He heard the story. He received the story. And then Luke understood the story. He says he might have, because having perfect understanding. And the word perfect understanding means fully known. Because none of us have perfect, full understanding of everything. So how could Luke say that? Well, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. And having understood it by the Holy Spirit, we understand salvation because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to the truth of the gospel. Can I get a witness? You know, we were blind to the gospel before the Holy Spirit came in and opened our eyes to the truth of it. Paul said, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. See, before we were saved, our eyes were blinded to the truth. And the Holy Spirit came in and opened our eyes to what Jesus had really done for us, and we turned and trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that word inspiration there, I mean, just means God breathed. God breathed it into the heart of Luke to write this for us. Not just Theophilus. I wonder how many people have been saved over the years reading Luke's gospel. You know, I mentioned earlier about one of the most complete movies of Jesus' life, what they call a Jesus story, the Jesus film. Based on the Gospel of Luke, it's been translated into languages all around the world. I remember being in Romania and Brazil where they had the movie translated into the languages, closed captioned, and put it out there for the people to hear the gospel story. And how many people have been saved in other countries even from that? Paul understood. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you here this morning here truly understand the story? Because of our sin nature, our sin actions, our disobedience to God, we are separated from God because of our sin. Because of that, we can't go to heaven. We have no hope. But yet God, knowing our lost state, sent his son to die for us, that if we would trust him and believe in him, he would save us from our sins and spare us from a devil's hell, but take us to a perfect place called heaven to live with him forever, where there is no more sorrow, sadness, sickness, death, nor pain. Amen? Do we understand that? I'm afraid there's so many people that come to churches, faithfully many of them, and don't really understand it. They say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I just believe I'll be there. And I've been at so many funerals, and please understand what I'm saying. Some poor soul has died, didn't show any kind of faith whatsoever, never went to church, made a profession when they were 6 years old, never lived for God, never went to church, never did anything for God. And their family said, well, I believe they're in a better place. I'm not their judge. I love what D. James Kennedy said years ago. He was in a panel discussion. He was pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church down in Florida years ago. And he passed away several years ago. And they were asking the panel, said, Dr. Kennedy, do you believe everybody in your church is truly saved? And he had a real dry sense of humor. And Dr. Kennedy looked at him and he said, well, let me just put it this way. I wouldn't want to be handcuffed to some of them when they die. Hello? I don't pray that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, because I'm not up here to win any popularity contest. I'm up here to say Jesus Christ died for you and he died for me. And if we'll trust him, he'll give us eternal life. That's what Luke wanted us to understand. He received the story, understood the story, and then Luke told the story. See, he wrote it down, right, in an orderly account, a chronology of the events of Jesus' life. See, it's a natural progression when you learn the story, how Jesus was born in this world and he lived his life and he ministered to people and he did all miracles and signs and wonders. And then he was crucified and then he rose again and he ascended back to heaven and said, go tell the world and I'm coming again. I was reading something this past week, Acts chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. Paul and Silas had been up Thessalonica and they run into a lot of troubles everywhere they go. The people were trying to stone them and everything. One place he didn't even get stoned in Lystra. They go down to Berea. And it says, those who were fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that is those in Berea, and that they received the word. Look at what it says. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily where these things were so. See, what Paul was preaching, they went back to the old scrolls and they didn't have a New Testament. Then they went back to the Old Testament scrolls and they said, is this true what he's preaching? Is this right what he's saying, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior who was to come into the world? But here's what I saw this week. The very next verse is, therefore, because they heard, they see, they researched it, they studied it, many of them believed. And not a few of the Greeks, prominent men as well as women. See, when somebody hears the word, somebody understands the word, somebody believes the word, then they're like, Luke, you want to go share it with somebody else. I've heard it said, found people find people. Healthy sheep reproduce themselves and saved people share with people. It's just a natural progression. It's kind of like John said in 1 John 1, 3, that we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was the Father with the Son, Jesus Christ. Just as John is saying, we saw it, we heard it, we knew what he did. Now we're telling you about it. Luke is saying, I saw, I heard, I've been told by the witnesses. I believe it, I'm sharing it with you. They said in Acts 4:20, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Do we really believe the story? Has it changed your life? It changed my life when I was almost 34 years old. April 7th, I celebrated my 32nd birthday. Whole lot better than that other birthday I celebrated not too long ago either, amen? Because one's going to end one day, but the one I celebrate on April 7th will go on forever. Do you have a spiritual birthday? You may not remember exactly what day it was. Maybe you were too little to understand that. But you know that you were born again and you trusted Jesus as your Savior. You know you're His child. And if you die, you're going to heaven. See, as the story changed your life. See, that was the outgrowth of Luke's faith. And you know what? It's an interesting thing. If you go back and read, Luke wrote Luke and he wrote the Gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, Book of Acts, we call it. The interesting thing in the Book of Acts, when you're going through it, he's telling what all Paul has done and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas and everything. But there's something that changes about Acts chapter 16 there for a little bit. That is, he starts talking like we. He didn't say Paul did this or they did this. He said we did this. He was on Paul's journeys with him. See, there's the story and the sharing of his faith. And then I want you to notice the security of his faith in verse 4. That you may know the certainty of those things in which we are instructed. That word certainty means the security, the safety, the assurance. See, he's faithful and confident in what he believes to share it. See, he's been convicted by the Holy Spirit of the truth of the story. He's listened, he saw, he's believed. See, let me ask you a question. This is Easter morning. Is it just an Easter story to you? Is it just a holiday to be celebrated once a year? Or is it a life-changing experience that Jesus Christ rose from the grave to give you eternal life? Do you know what it says in the Bible, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. You know, that's something we have in our court of law in our country today. When somebody is going on trial for something, there's got to be more than one witness. Sometimes in our society today, maybe it's a video witness or circumstantial evidence or scientific evidence or something that lends witness, or maybe it's just the testimony of more than one person along with those things, but it's got to be more than one thing to testify for it to be true. You stop and think about it. Luke witnessed to us this morning about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am witnessing to you this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him as Lord and Savior, your heart is swelling up with pride right now, saying, thank you, Lord, because He brings joy in your heart when you read about and hear about the story again. But if you don't know Him, the Holy Spirit's got His finger on your heart and say, you need Jesus. And how many here in this congregation and in this world, maybe you work with, you go to school with, that know Christ as Savior, have witnessed to you about His salvation? See, Luke's convinced in his own life. He's seen the power of God. He wrote Luke and Acts, as I mentioned earlier. And we find in Acts chapter 17 or 16, he's talking about we. See, he went through the tough times with Paul. One of the amazing things about it is, well, if you read the whole account, well, in Acts chapter 27, 28, when Paul was in the hurricane on the ship in the Mediterranean Sea and they lost their ship and about all lost their lives, Luke was with him on that. Well, God provided the protection for him. God made the provision for him. Their hope was received. Luke was convinced. That's why he wrote. He experienced the salvation of God. And Luke's confident for others. He said, did you know the certainty? Let me ask you a question. Are you convicted about the truth of these scriptures? Are you convinced in your own life that He is the Savior of the world? Are you confident and secure and safe in your belief? See, this is a story of Easter, that He rose from the grave to guarantee our salvation. Have you ever bought anything on credit? Don't raise your hand. We all have. And you send them so much money every month to pay for it, whether it's a car or something else. And finally, you send off that last payment to them. And man, you're rejoicing, but there's something just not quite right about it, because you're waiting in the mail. And finally, two or three weeks later, you get this envelope from whoever had the loan on whatever it was, and you open it up, and there's the document that you originally signed to pay for the whatever it was, and it's marked paid in full and zero balance. Hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, when He rose from the grave, that was His statement saying, your debt has been paid in full. it satisfied. I read about a little girl whose home was near the cemetery. And she had to walk to the store sometimes for her mama and stuff like that. But to go to the little store down the road, she had to go through the cemetery. And sometimes she would go through the cemetery and it would be getting close to dark, even dusky dark, before she would be coming home through the cemetery. And finally somebody asked her one, said, "Honey, aren't you afraid going through that cemetery when it's getting dark?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm not afraid." And I said, "Well, why are you not afraid to go through that cemetery? It's already getting dark." She said, "Because my home is just on the other side of the cemetery. I'm not afraid." Are you afraid of the cemetery? You don't have to be. See, because my home is on the other side of the cemetery. A home in heaven, amen? Do you know Him, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior? If you do, rejoice this Sunday. Rejoice every Sunday. Rejoice every day. Let me give you one more little tidbit. I see people all the time on Twitter and Facebook and social media and Instagram and all the other whatever they are. I can't keep up with them all. Amen. And somebody will post on there, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And everybody says, "Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord for today." But they're taking that scripture out of context. We need to be grateful for every day. Amen. But if you go back to the context of that from Psalm 118:24, the two preceding verses before that say, "This is a stone that the builders have rejected. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice and be glad." You know what? He's talking about a specific day. He's talking about the day Jesus died on the cross. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And if He hadn't risen from the grave, what would it be worth? But He did rise. Amen. Do you know Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. When we have our invitation. I can't remember exactly. I remember it was on April 7th when I got saved, but I think it was an Easter morning. No greater time than this morning to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him this morning, God's speaking to your heart that you need to trust Him. Just a minute, we have this invitation. You need to just come forward and say, "Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die." God's speaking to your heart. You come. Here this morning, you've been saved, but maybe you've never been baptized to follow through as a witness for Him, believer's baptism. You need to come. Maybe you're here and feel like you want to plant your life in this church to serve the Lord Jesus here in this family of believers. You want to join this church. You've been coming here for a while. You feel like this is where God wants you to be. Wants you to come. Or maybe you're just here this morning. You want to just come and say, "Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for making me whole. I give my life to You afresh this morning." Let God have His way during this invitation, all of our hearts. If there's something else God's speaking to you about this morning, you just follow Him in obedience. And Father, we thank You this morning as we sing this song of invitation. Lord, speak to our hearts. Draw us to Yourself to save, to heal, to encourage. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. Have Your way in our hearts and lives this morning. We give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen.